The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to the weekend. And I tell you what, this is an infuriating day. Once again, we're watching our school kids get absolutely brainwashed. We're walking out. So let's talk about the kids' school schedule. So they were off for 2 weeks at the end of December for Christmas break. Oh, we can't call it Christmas break. Then they had a week off for midwinter break in February. Then they had a week off because it snowed a little bit around here. Then they get another week off in April. Oh, and today, they're just walking out of class all around the state. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So the brainwashing continues as the people who are trying to hijack billions of dollars in our state, trillions of dollars globally, all in the name of saving the planet, climate change. They present only one side of the story. They claim there to be the scientific consensus with these bogus figures about what percent of scientists agree on this. They don't ever acknowledge how the scientists were wrong about our changing climate back in the 70s. When they predicted the coming ice age, they don't admit that they used to call it global warming, but then the planet stopped warming and they couldn't explain that. So they switched to climate change. And Al Gore said we had to get things fixed by 2012 or we'd be at a tipping point. He was wrong. One of more than a dozen things that was just blatantly, provably factually untrue in his scam movie. Now you have the new one that we have 12 years, a number they've pulled out of their rear. We have 12 years to fix the planet. And the way we fix it, give us billions and trillions of dollars. So today, the battle line is in the schools where kids all across the country, all around the world, are walking out of school to take part in a national youth climate strike. You know what would impress me more? If these kids would schedule these climate strikes on a Saturday. Give up part of your weekend if you care that much. But now we're going to just walk out of school. Ooh, what a sacrifice by these children to walk out of school. And the fact that our governor, who's trying to scam his way into national consciousness by being the climate change president, he's out there endorsing it this morning.
This is a moment of great peril, but it is also a moment of great promise because we have a generation right here today that owns the future, is the future.
But only if your family members who are 18 and older vote for me.
When you save your generation, you're saving mine too. And your parents, your uncles, your grandparents, your aunts, they ought to say a big thank you next time you see them. And you tell them that's from Jay Inslee from the state of Washington.
Woo! Woo! Ow! They have three demands in the Seattle Youth Climate Strike today. A demand for a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in line with some IPCC special report. But they want to reduce global temperatures by 1.5 degrees Celsius. Yeah, this is what the middle school and high school kids in Seattle have come up with. Get out of here. It's just adults using kids to try to transform our economy. A demand for our world leaders to take action that ensures global warming remains under 1.5 degrees Celsius, and a demand that our U.S. legislators implement the Green New Deal and other legislative actions to decrease the climate crisis. The Green New Deal, which you want to talk about scientific consensus? Every economist has said that the Green New Deal is fiscally, financially, economically an impossibility. But we'll just engage in fantasy land, and our kids will walk out of school. They'll be hijacked by a bunch of adult extremists who just want to reorder our global economy. They want trillions of dollars for this new one world government that's going to take over all climate regulation in the world. The climate's changing. Nobody knows the influence man has on that. Nobody knows that. The scientists certainly don't know it because they've been wrong in every proclamation they've made the last 50 years in that regard. And whatever incremental differences there are in the planet, we will adapt as we have for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We'll adapt if there's a couple millimeter rise in the ocean. But no, they're scaring the kids, silly. Entire nations will be swamped. Hey, how's Jay Inslee doing with his climate pitch for presidency? That brings me to my next story in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, one of my listeners who reaches out to me all the time on Twitter, Ryan, he's got a daily listening habit. He listens to my show from noon to three. And then he listens to John and Ken on KFI in Los Angeles. And he said, hey, they were talking about your boy Inslee on their show a couple of days ago.
Did you see that jackass presidential candidate, the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee?
Yeah,
he's running on climate change. He went to one of the fire sites to say, oh, this is what happens when climate change happens.
Like, he's the climate change candidate.
No, you blockhead. This was caused by the power companies. The guy flies in at the last minute.
And we get winds every fall.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't understand that you always get wind. You always get heat. You always get dry weather since the beginning of any tribe settling here.
Jay Inslee making some wonderful headway in his bid for the presidency. And John Cobalt, one of the hosts on the John and Ken show in Los Angeles, KFI, joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, John, good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to talk with you.
So you're really impressed with our governor's presidential bid, it sounds like.
Well, he's flat out wrong. I mean, it's one thing to have a different ideology, a different opinion about the world, but he's flat out wrong. The fires, in large part, were caused by the electric companies, SoCal Edison, PG&E. They're the ones who are getting sued. They're the ones that investigations are pointing to because they don't maintain their equipment. The winds blow every year. You know, if you're going to run as a climate expert, then you ought to know something about the climate.
Right.
And in fact, we're going through one of these periods right now. The Santa Ana winds blow a number of times a year. It's winds that blow off the mountains to the northeast of Los Angeles. They blow rapidly. There's a great pressure gradient.
Right.
And as the winds come down the mountains, the air compresses. It gets funneled through canyons. As it compresses, it heats up. And by the time it gets to a place like Malibu where this fire devastated, it's blowing at 50, 60 miles an hour. It usually brings heat in the summertime. Sometimes
right.
You get cold ones in the winter. But this has been noted for as long as California has been settled. These are ancient winds that have always blown here. And they're extremely dry. The humidity goes down to less than 5%. And you need a spark. The spark is not caused by global warming, and neither are the Santa Ana winds.
Right.
The spark is caused because of faulty electrical equipment. The whole infrastructure is rotting. It hasn't been maintained for decades.
Well,
that's the beginning and end of the story.
It's amazing to listen to our governor because last summer he told everyone who would listen, we had really bad smoke in Washington. And he said, we have the worst air quality in the world, and that includes Beijing. And he said, that's why we need to pass a carbon tax. And the smoke was from British Columbia. There were wildfires in British Columbia. There was wind from the north that blew all the smoke into Washington. And British Columbia, by the way, has a carbon tax. And that didn't stop any of this from happening, but he uses that as his pretense to raise the taxes here, billions of dollars for zero planetary benefit.
Well, that's what they do now. That's the latest shtick, is what they want is the money.
Right.
They want billions of dollars to spend on whatever nonsense they're into. But they need some kind of shaming gimmick. And usually it's the children. It's the poor. Now they're trying Mother Earth. Mother Earth is being tortured by humanity, and in order to save Mother Earth, you have to pay a tax of billions of dollars. It's just hucksterism. It's it's like a late night infomercial scam.
They
pull it over and over again because they're able to emotionally manipulate people.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, I did the calculations. What the carbon tax would have reduced in emissions was globally for the planet. About 1/50 of 1%, which means zero benefit, and he wanted people to pay billions more in taxes for zero planetary benefit. And that's what I'm amazed by. And I know you guys watchdog this down there all the time. There's absolutely zero analysis of cost versus benefit. They just want our money.
There was a Swedish scientist. I think his name is Bjorn Lomborg.
Lomborg, yeah.
He writes in various publications, and he calculated that the entire Paris Climate Agreement, if implemented, would reduce temperatures by 0.08 of a degree
right.
100 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's if the whole thing was implemented, if you could get every country out of the 200-odd countries to follow through on their promises, which nobody ever will. This is a scam to shake money out of people and out of countries. That's all it is. They can't do, if there's global warming, they can't do anything about it. If it's happening, we're just going to have to adapt, or we're going to have to go back and live in the way we did in the 1700s.
Well, are the school kids in Los Angeles walking out of class today for climate change? Because they are here in Seattle and Tacoma, and I know it's a big national movement today. Are the kids down there walking out?
I imagine they are. I haven't gone outside this morning. I'm afraid to.
Okay.
But I imagine they are because the teachers force them to. One of my sons got forced into walking out one day over some cockamamie issue. And he made a joke about it, and the teacher heard it and scolded him immediately right on the street.
Right.
So they're actually sent on a forced march outside to do fake protests on stuff the kids either don't care about or don't even know about.
Right.
It's just symbolic nonsense.
It is indeed. All right. Well, it's always good talk. I'm sorry that Inslee hasn't won you over yet, but he still has a year and a half to make it happen.
Yeah, well, tell him to come back here when he knows something.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a long time between visits then. All right. John Cobalt with John Ken Show, KFI in Los Angeles. Good talk with you, John.
Sure thing. Anytime.
All right. And up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, we got the school kids walking out for the planet. Inslee's encouraging it. We got all this bogus economists and scientists that are flying around out there. But it's all about controlling our kids' minds. And we told you about a story that's unfolding down in Tacoma right now. And I'm going to go more in depth into the story a little bit later. But in Tacoma, there was a teacher who wrote an op-ed in the Tacoma News Tribune last weekend. And the teacher said, diversity education divides us. And he was talking about a House bill that would provide diversity education curriculum for grades 7 through 12 here in Washington State. And the teacher made great points. I read you the whole column yesterday. But what he said is diversity education, and I've seen these curriculums. Diversity education is not about bringing people together at all. It's about identity politics. It's about separating people. It's about white privilege, how there should be white guilt, and it does nothing to unite us. And that is not in any way to disparage people's cultural heritage. You want to celebrate? But do it. But not as part of a school curriculum. Because our schools should be about bringing people together and uniting us. And I was quoting Teddy Roosevelt on the show yesterday, who said the greatest peril for our nation is the hyphenization of Americans. And that we become all of these little warring factions instead of what we should be striving for. And that's just united Americans with common goals, common purpose, shared, you know, respect your cultural heritage. But we should all be striving toward a shared culture, a shared language. But the teacher's point was the diversity education ends up dividing us. Okay, so he makes that point, and everybody wants him fired now because a teacher dared take the non-left-wing viewpoint on a bill before our legislature. And so there was a school board meeting in Tacoma last night. And these school board members are just absolutely outrageous in calling for this teacher essentially to be fired or to toe the line. He cannot think like an independent person. He must embrace leftist ideology. Here's the school board president, Karen Vialli. We invited any member of the school board to come on our show this afternoon. They called us back about an hour ago and declined our invitation. But this is the demand for groupthink. If any teacher doesn't embrace the leftist propaganda that dominates our schools.
And thank goodness that I think that the Michael Jankaniches are in a minority in our school district now, and we're going to work hard to make sure that all of our teachers do what we want them to do, and that is teach diversity and honor the diversity and honor the cultures of all of our children. And as long as I sit up here, I have no problem reiterating that and no problem saying that publicly, and will continue to do so.
Wow, that's a pretty tyrannical school board down there. That a teacher who dares embrace something besides the far left mantra in our schools, you're going to make sure that that doesn't happen? You want no diversity of thought. You embrace diversity, but you detest anybody who doesn't think like you? I'm going to go more in depth on this a little bit later because this is scary, what's going on in Tacoma. It's a scary reflection of how out of control our public schools have gotten. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then we are expecting in the next few minutes Donald Trump to announce from the Oval Office that he's vetoing the Senate that said they are not supporting his emergency declaration on the border. We'll bring you the president live. All of that straight ahead as we get rolling on a Friday afternoon. As always, I'd love to know what you have to say about any and all things that we're discussing. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. In fact, I'm just pulling it up right now. But, you know, like I mentioned, I had a listener who reached out to me on Twitter yesterday and said, man, they were ripping Inslee on the John and Ken show on KFI in Los Angeles. That's why I reached out to John and got him on today, and it's all about, indoctrinating the kids. That's what it's about. You know, Inslee supporting the school walkout today for climate change and all of that. We're waiting for the president, by the way, who's going to apparently veto the Senate saying that they do not support his emergency declaration for the wall. So we're expecting to hear from the president anytime. This would be the first veto of his presidency. So we will take you to the Oval Office live when that happens. So while we're waiting for the president, so let me follow up on this Tacoma thing, because I know we talked about it yesterday, but it is so unbelievably dangerous, the territory that we're getting into in the schools, where groupthink is demanded in the public schools. And government is not allowed to, should not be allowed to tell you and me, your children, my children, how they must think. And so this all centered around a history teacher at Mount Tahoma High School, Mike Jankinich. And he wrote an op-ed piece in the Tacoma News Tribune last weekend. And the headline was, "Diversity Education is a Divisive Education." There's a bill in our state house that, as he put it, supported by a host of the usual liberal suspects, would direct the state school superintendent's office to develop an ethnic studies curriculum. And it would be a curriculum for 7th through 12th grade. And he said, given the overall leftist influence in our state public schools, a great many districts are likely to expose students to this proposed curriculum. And then he explained, you know, very graciously, very eloquently, why he thinks it's a bad idea. The great seal of the United States proclaims the achievement of the American revolutionary generation, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. And he quotes Abraham Lincoln, who says, you know, and he said, it's probably the worst result of the identity politics of those who want to push a diversity education agenda in our schools. The movement represents a loss of faith in the foundational institutions of the American experiment, and worse, undermines those institutions. I can do no better than to end with the wisdom of Lincoln. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's exactly what will be accomplished by diversity education, the house divided. And so yesterday I was quoting Teddy Roosevelt, who has expressed the exact, or did express the exact same thing, that there's no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. And Teddy Roosevelt said, some of the best Americans I've ever known were naturalized Americans, Americans born abroad, but a hyphenated American is not an American at all. This is just as true of the man who puts native before the hyphen as of the man who puts German or Irish or English or French before the hyphen. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance, Teddy Roosevelt said. And Roosevelt, you know, he's heralded. He founded our national park system. You know, people loved him. But today, Teddy Roosevelt would be considered such a wild extremist who could not be tolerated when he wrote, the one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of its continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities. And that, of course, is what, you know, the whole culture of identity politics on the left is about, dividing us into groups based on our ethnicity, race, sexual orientation, you name it. It's all about dividing us into these little clusters instead of, let's find a common culture that brings us together as Americans. Now, the problem with this diversity education is that a lot of it is just anti-white. You know, white privilege, white guilt, how you should embrace white guilt. If you're white, how you should condemn whites if you're not. The flag is a symbol of hate. That has been in our public schools, that the United States flag is a symbol of hate, that the Pledge of Allegiance is hateful. And we have a lot of kids who, you know, basketball games, they won't stand for the anthem. They won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Nothing unites us, because the culture of the left and of identity politics is to divide us. So anyway, this history teacher at Mount Tahoma, he dares say that I don't think this is a good idea, having a state diversity education curriculum. He's a free person exercising his First Amendment rights, to comment on a bill before our state House of Representatives. If the government is telling somebody that they will lose their job because they have an opinion that's different from what the government is mandating, and that's where I find the school board, I'm going to play you the soundbite from the school board president again, because this is a scary government official, Karen Vialli. She is a government person saying, this is what the government is dictating, and if you don't think the way the government tells you to think, you will lose your job. That is as scary as a government official could possibly get.
And thank goodness that I think that the Michael Jankanichs are in a minority in our school district now, and we're going to work hard to make sure that all of our teachers do what we want them to do, and that is teach diversity and honor the diversity and honor the cultures of all of our children. And as long as I sit up here, I have no problem reiterating that and no problem saying that publicly, and will continue to do so.
Well, she should be bounced out of the job right away. The government is saying the government has come up with an agenda, and you must think the way we tell you to think, or we will weed you out. You will lose your livelihood. There's a man who's been a teacher for decades in Tacoma, doesn't have any problems in the classrooms. But now you have people who stand up at the school board meeting last night. By the way, this audio from King 5, it's up at king5.com. A member of the community comes to the school board meeting and says, we don't like the way this man thinks. He must be fired.
He has created a hostile learning environment for those diverse groups of children.
How? How is that a hostile learning environment? Because he doesn't think the way the government is saying you must think? They talk about diversity, but they won't allow any thought that is different from what's being mandated by the leftist extremists who have control of our public schools?
He has created a hostile learning environment for those diverse groups of children. And how can they be expected to sit in his classroom and be taught by him, knowing that he harbors these types of feelings?
He doesn't want a bill to pass the House because he thinks it's a bad idea. Ooh, we can't do that. We can't challenge anything. Another community member, Kimmy Ginn, wants him fired.
We expect accountability, and trust that you do the right thing.
And the right thing is thinking the way the far left tells you to think. And then a former student named Bryce, he got up and defended this teacher.
Despite all this, we are imperfect. And the only way we can possibly hope to get closer to a just society is through dialogue. We must recognize that every member of our community has something valuable to contribute to this conversation.
Yeah. We're getting into, we've been in scary territory. We're getting into really scary territory where the left is controlling the government and the government is threatening jobs if you don't think the way the left tells you to think. Bad, bad stuff going on down there in Tacoma. We're expecting to hear from the president any moment. We'll take you there live. Let me take a quick time out. We'll jump in if the president starts speaking as we continue here on the Dory Monson Show. So President Trump earlier today said the Senate resolution to not support his emergency declaration for a border wall. He said it's a reckless resolution that he will veto. And as you know, I do support building a border wall. And Trump is going to any moment now speak live and veto it because he says there is an emergency. One in every three women and girls who's trafficked through Mexico to sneak into America is sexually assaulted. It's just so weird to me that we hear all the time when, you know, Democrats have a reason to spend billions of dollars or to implement gun control. Let's talk gun control. They say if it will save just one child, we should do it. Well, if you build a wall, if you remove the moth lamp that attracts illegals to come into our country, then those 1 in 3 women and girls who are being sexually assaulted, maybe it'll save just one child. You know, we'll spend what he's asking for, $8 billion, to build the wall. It would unquestionably mean that there would be fewer sexual assaults of people. And yet, because of political ideology, because open borders has become, and they're making no bones about it, a lot of the Democrat presidential candidates, they just want open borders. And the reason is, the more people sneak into this country, they will, when they get control of everything, they will provide a pathway to citizenship, and they will undoubtedly get the overwhelmingly number of votes from that community on the Democratic side. Because if you come into this, and this gets back to, you know, like the Tacoma thing, the whole diversity education. What the teacher wrote in the News Tribune is, you know, there was a time when immigrants would come to this country and they would try to, the goal would be to be assimilated into our American culture as quickly as possible. Learn the language. Kids would learn the language. Parents would go to night school to learn English. The goal was to become assimilated, because what bonds us together? What are our commonalities? Well, it's language and an American culture. And if our focus in the schools is, no, we're going to divide everybody by their familial heritage culture, you know, celebrate that at home. Celebrate that at your place of worship. Celebrate that in your personal private life. But as a mandate by the government that we have to implement this in our public schools, that does divide us. That does not bring us together. That does not provide the common bond that we should be striving for. And again, that curriculum, it teaches, you know, flag is a hate, symbol of hate, and on and on and on. And so I tend to agree with the teacher. Now, according to the Tacoma School Board, and I've given you great detail as to why. I thought the teacher was very eloquent in his op-ed piece as to why he thinks the way he does. And now they're threatening his livelihood because he's not towing the line. Really scary times. Really scary. One other thing that is a little frightening is how much of the media is just trying to provide propaganda. I have seen so many stories in different news outlets the last week about Washington State has the most unfair tax structure in the country because we don't have an income tax. Well, we don't have an income tax because our founding fathers of our state had the wisdom to say that we're not going to have an income tax unless it's the same rate on everybody. If the richest person pays 5%, the poorest person will pay 5%. And so that's codified in our state constitution. But in Olympia, they desperately want an income tax in the form of capital gains, which is an income tax, as we have painstakingly detailed and the IRS has confirmed for us. It's an income tax. And the media is, you know, pitching this, we're the most unfair tax culture in the entire country. And it's their case for making an income tax, which is unconstitutional. So, man, I tell you, when you have government and media that is a lapdog instead of a watchdog, that's what I'm here for crying out loud. Still waiting on the Prez. Fast 15 is also coming up next.